permit, or is denied a permit, and they go before the board, and the board waives their eligibility requirement. In other words, they haven't landed their one fish.
Right.
Go before the board. Board waives that, says, okay, you were sick or whatever. Then there is a further requirement. That provision requires then that the person leave that permit on the vessel for at least 2 years. It has to participate in the ocean troll salmon fishery for at least two or more for at least two calendar years.
Before it can be transferred?
Before it can be transferred. That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. This becomes moot because, first of all, there is no eligibility requirement under the new provision. You don't have to land at least one salmon.
Oh, okay.
And secondly, the further provision in the transfer section that says that if you are transferring from a vessel to another vessel who is over 30 feet, then you must show that the original vessel participated in the fishery for at least 2 years and landed at least 100 pounds of salmon.
Okay, so you're so switching where the
right,
two-year participation
exactly.
is. Fine.
Okay. And the proof of ownership that you've added in your amendments is basically has to do with the bank thing you were talking about.
That's right.
Okay. Now, the other question I had was, I think it made sense, but you on page 2, lines 21 through 25, you're just kind of, the changes you're making there are basically just switching it around so you can read it and understand it, as far as I can tell.
That's correct. That's right.
I can actually understand what the law now says, thanks to your amendments.
I'm glad to hear that. I had trouble reading it. I had to draw myself a picture.
That's what I've always had to do with this law, so I'm really glad. Okay. Good. I just want to make you, because you presented them as pretty housekeeping. They clearly are. Okay. Now, let me ask we have a proposal from that we talked about at our last meeting. It's now in Legislative Council Form 843-2, which basically applies the emergency clause to a number of sections, but it basically exempts the emergency clause from Section 2, which is the permit fee. Raising the permit fee from $1 to $10 would not go in effect until January 1st, 1988, but everything else would go in effect immediately. Now, I'm being told that that's something's wrong with that.
We don't think that's a very good idea. And it has to do primarily with the fact that Legislative Council couldn't tell us, and our attorney wasn't sure. But the feeling was that if the people that purchased a permit prior to the effective date, $1 permit, would be bound by having to make the one salmon requirement, whereas the people that purchased it after would be bound by the new requirements. So then we get into a situation of...
Say that again.
Okay. People who purchased the permit prior to the effective date, if it were something other than the calendar year,
oh,
would be bound by the old permit requirements.
I see.
Okay,
people
so you,
under the law.
Right, and so then you have a situation that, and just logistically, it would be very difficult for our licensed people to know, determine who was eligible, who had to meet which requirements.
Okay.
For renewal in the next year.
You're absolutely right. Yep. Okay.
Good point. Okay, so we won't be proposing 843-2 because those are clearly causing some problems. Okay, is there any other... Basically, what we have before us, I'm trying to sort all these papers, what we have before us is some amendments you've proposed, which are basically housekeeping in nature and seem to be fine and dandy. We have some amendments proposed by Senator Brenneman, which clearly need some revision in order to do what people wanted them to do. We have other amendments which don't make sense that we talked about at the last meeting, 843-2 from Legislative Council. And I think that's all that we have in terms of issues before the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
On the 843-2, were we just talking about the question of the emergency call?
Yes, that's all we were talking about.
That's what you were talking
about? Yes.
Okay,
and
that
does create a problem in terms of people who have this permit and then new people getting the permit under different conditions.
So, we ditched dash 2.
We can ditch dash 2, I think.
Probably.
That would be my recommendation.
All right.
Okay, so we need to, all right, is there anything else about the bill? If we go ahead and get these squared away so that we can actually read the law and it makes sense, and we get Senator Brenneman's amendments revised, is there anything else that you feel need for change in this bill?
No, we'd be satisfied with it that way.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on Senate Bill 843? Hearing no one, will close the hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. You got to put your hand up. We'll open the hearing again. Betty Bach, come on up. You got to come up.
I can find you that. I've known you ever since.
I'm in trouble now.
Betty,
you got to identify yourself for the
Betty
record.
Bach,
thank you.
Commercial fisherman from Coos Bay.
Good.
I just want to say thank you for your interest, your support, and your understanding of our situation. We did have a lot of concerns. I think these have been addressed, and I think Terry and Scott did a very good job of the presentation of these concerns and the actions that would greatly benefit us and this shrimp fisheries. It is a fragile, very fragile. It's an unknown quantity. It's a very fragile fisheries, and it's something that we want to see preserved, and I think that this goes a long ways toward that. This the single delivery fee it actually circumvented the permit system, and it left the back door open. And this is being taken care of, and I'm really very happy about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Okay, close the hearing on Senate Bill 843. We'll get the amendments drawn up and come back to it. We have a work session on Monday. Okay, now I can find my agenda.
Here we go.
Okay, I want to open the four of us here. I want to open the work session on Senate Bill 115, which is a bill that I think we have amended fully and relates to leaking underground storage tanks. Mr. Greener, we basically have, is this bill basically amended and in position to be moved to Ways and Means?
Yes, we must have made about 12 amendments on the 2nd of March. Four or five or six of them were DEQ amendments. Three or four of them were proposed by Tom Donica, and the committee came up with a couple of their own. And the draft was only, these amendments only were produced for us earlier this week, I think on Wednesday. So it may be wise to ask DEQ and AOI if everything's still in line with them.
Are they here?
The DEQ's here.
Rich? Good. We'd love nothing more than for you to come up and say, yes, the bill's ready.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Richard Ryder, manager of the Hazardous Material Program, we have one concern which Kathy will discuss
okay,
with you.
Fine.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Kathy Petroni with the Oregon DEQ. The concern in the proposed amendments is found on page 2 of the LC Draft 531.
See if I can find that.
It's a SB 115-1, I guess it's the correct title.
One 115-1?
That's correct.
Okay. Where are you turning our attention to?
To page 2, lines 1 and 2. In one amendment, there is a requirement that the department identify tank tests that are to be certified and the equipment that is necessary to perform the tests. In the underground tank program, currently it's a new program, and one of the new technologies that's been developed is tank testing. There are approximately 250 different types of tests that are available, each of which has different a different set of procedures. And currently the federal EPA has set up a laboratory in Edison, New Jersey, to evaluate those tests and to review the manufacturer's claims versus what is technologically feasible. Currently, there's a great deal of controversy. The manufacturer's claims and the results of EPA are not the same. Because this is a new program with the department, we'd find it difficult right now in doing the certifying tests until the results from EPA at least are made available, and that isn't expected for a number of years. And there is no history on this test, so that the laboratory test coupled with a history in the field would take a good deal of time to evaluate. And so we find that that amendment would be very difficult to implement and may actually stall the leak detection, leak prevention program.
If you don't identify the tests that are certified, what is the result?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the result would be without any type of oversight of the type of program that there would be any claim of leak detection. The meta performance standard would, that anybody could come into the market and perform a test and make a claim and then write to DEQ saying that a test was performed. What we're proposing in the Senate Bill 115 is a licensing program for tank testers so that if they have a test that manufacturers claim to meet a performance standard and that manufacturer has a training program, then we would start to regulate them at the tester stage. Right now, human error is probably the greatest contributor to the fact that the tests are not are not coming out to be reproducible. The results are not reproducible. And if we are able to regulate the tester, then we would have at least the first stage would have a handle on the actual test itself. And that's what our proposal is for them.
So you won't be identifying the tank tests. You will be working with the testers and evaluating whatever system they come forward with. You'll be evaluating that to see whether it holds water or not, so to speak.
I remember it before.
And that'll be the way it'll be done, rather than laying out for somebody who was interested, for example, in going into the tank testing business, which testing systems they could come forward with. You're going to say, well, come forward with your tank testing system and we'll tell you whether it works or not.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The other observation I would make, Mr. Chairman, is that we probably have at this time neither the expertise nor the staff in our budget to undertake a major program like this in light of the number of potential tests that are available.
Okay.
I believe that's more appropriately done by EPA rather than the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
And that then if we work with the testers who are applying these tests, that we're nearly approaching the intent of this without the state having to duplicate what EPA will already be doing.
So the amendment you would propose would be to just delete lines 1 and 2 in the 115-1 amendments.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. You have to also re-letter, I guess. There would be no A, yeah. Obviously, you just want to get rid of that language and not have an A and a B. Right.
Who proposed these? These are the sum of all.
We have read all the other amendments. They agree with them.
Everything else is
I see.
In pretty good shape.
They don't know. Okay.
115. Page, the only amendment that's been proposed now is on page 5. line 23. No. Okay, so there was nothing else that you particularly noticed that needed to be, we've gone through this bill and for quite a while. Okay, the chair would move that we adopt in concept the deletion of, on the 115-1 amendment stated 3987, that we delete the language included on page 2, lines 1 and 2, and, well, actually, just delete that whole, page 1, line 27, and page 2, lines 1, 2, and 3. That puts it back the way the bill is now, rather than putting that language in. Is there any objection to that amendment? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, before we're going to move this to Ways and Means.
Ways and Means,
right?
Yeah.
Before we do that, is it possible, has the department or our staff, or do we have, because I don't have, a real good sense of what the total fee requirements are in this bill for different operators? Has that been done? Do we have a matrix? Or
yeah, we do.
Do we have a matrix?
Stan, Rich.
Has it been submitted to the committee?
Oh, yeah.
Did I miss it?
Yes, you probably did.
Oh. I saw some cartoons and some Smurf type.
Yeah, we did get a great
cartoons on the board here one day, but I don't know that. Okay, so it should be in my bag of something. What's it look like?
Rich or Stan, can you come up?
Okay, that's the
money that went wrong with the bill.
Let me take a look and see where I got that.
Somewhere in here, I got a great chart from him at one point.
Oh, I got so much.
This one right here.
The red one.
Yeah.
Ah.
That's in, I put that in a different one.
That's right.
Now, the key thing to understand about in the bill is that there aren't, as I remember it, and correct me if I'm wrong, there aren't any specific fees in the bill. What it says is the department will adopt a fee schedule.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Richard Ryder again.
And we had some charts that showed what they sort of just a preliminary, here's what it might look like if we did it this way, kind of a chart.
These are, those, Mr. Chairman, those are identified as proposed or possible annual fees and et cetera in that handout.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cairns, that's correct. Now, you may recall from the testimony there is a concern. We developed our assumptions based on a facility, assuming three tanks per facility location. Some testimony was offered by people saying, would not a per tank fee be more equitable? Because one facility may have one tank, another facility might have 20. We are not opposed to that concept. Our intent would be to get a committee together before we propose the rule to the commission, decide whether a per-tank fee is more equitable and industry prefers that, or a per-facility fee.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
Pursue that. Did the committee, and I apologize, I must have raised
right.
means that in
no,
the subcommittee that
it's
day.
Fine.
Did the committee voice its opinion on that to the department before the bill goes away?
Mm-hmm.
Did we tell them what our predilections were between facility versus tank?
I don't think so.
Did we give them any direction?
I do not recall that, Senator Cairns.
Well, I'd like the record to show that I've got something to say.
You would like it per tank.
My direction to you, speaking for myself, yeah, I think we ought to, the most equitable solution ought to be per tank, so that the somebody who's got lots and lots of tanks, and thus has got multiple exposures, ought to pay more than somebody who's got a couple of tanks and has that much smaller exposure. So if you're looking for some direction from any member of this committee, I'll volunteer that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lambie.
Help me, remind me also, Senator Cairns, was there any discussion as to the size of the tank? Is there a great variance in sizes of tanks? Speaking of being equitable.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hamby, yes, there is. The tanks vary from, you know, 1,000 gallons, 500 gallons, all the way up to, I think, our largest tank approached 300,000 gallons.
Tank, form right. Tank.
I think, hopefully, the department would attempt to make it as equitable as possible. If they were to approach it at a per tank, that they would look as to size in addition. Certainly, if you recall the testimony of the Eastern Oregon...
Maupin.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that's correct, because in my district, I've got a gasoline tank farm by the SP tracks on Prairie Road, and I, you know, there must be 10 or 11 of them there, and they've built two more in the last couple of years. I would hate to see them paying the same fee based on a tank at that tank farm as the fellow from Maupin is paying on his two. You can't get super unleaded from him. He's like a regular unleaded. He never had any super unleaded. He's only got two tanks. I hate to see the same fee on his tanks be the same as Shell Corporation on their tank farm. I think we ought to be able to discriminate. 500,000 gallons being a lot more than 500.
Mr. Chairman, just one caution. If I understand the example correctly, and I think I can visualize the tank farm, those may not be regulated by this program.
I know.
Because those are above ground.
They're above ground.
That's right. That's
right. Senator Kintai. Yes, you mentioned getting a committee together to say it. Now, what would be your, who would they represent? Who would make up the committee?
Mr. Chair, Senator Kintai, as you may recall, we currently have a 37-member committee.
Oh, that
principally
committee.
Of industry types,
mm-hmm.
And we likely would use that same committee.
All right. And since Senator Kearns is making suggestions, I'd like to make one too, that I would suggest looking at some kind of a graduated or scale here with a fee for the first tank and maybe diminishing for others, economy of scale, if they're inspecting. Well, while they're there, yeah, it shouldn't cost three times as much to inspect a tank three tanks on one location as one. So possibly something worked out there on a sliding scale.
Okay.
Move the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Senator Cairns moved Senate Bill 115 out of this committee with a due pass recommendation. It does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, which is where it will go next. Is there any discussion on the motion? Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Cohen?
Aye.
Senator Cairns?
Aye.
Senator Kintai?
Aye.
Senator Bradbury?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Open the work session on Senate Bill 116. What a relief that is. Senate Bill 116 is what we call the HISWA Amendments Bill. Stan? Good. Do we have any
amendments again?
Do we have one ready? Do we have some amendments that we're being proposed?
No, I don't see what it is.
We have some amendments. We have adopted them or not?
Yep, they're adopted.
All right. So, where are we on this bill, Stan?
Mr. Chairman, from our standpoint, we've provided our amendments. I think all of our amendments have been adopted.
I think you're right.
Respond to questions.
You want to move the bill?
I think we're ready to move the bill. I don't think there's anything else to be done.
Okay, I've moved the bill.
Senator Cohen moves Senate Bill 116 from this committee with a due pass recommendation. It has a subsequent... It doesn't have a subsequent referral? Okay, Senator Cohen moves Senate Bill 116 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion?
That incorporate, we have incorporated SB 116-1.
That's correct.
Dated 3/10/87.
And we also have incorporated, wasn't there some amendments related to,
does that
include the
no.
Camp security amendment? Right. Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion?
Which camp security amendment?
All right, thank you. I'm okay on this. Clerk, would you please call the roll on the motion to send 116 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation?
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Cairns.
Aye.
Senator Kintai.
Aye.
Senator Brenneman.
Aye.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senator Cairns, would you like to carry this?
Sure. You looking for a victim? Okay. Right there.
Let me move to work session on Senate Bill 372, which I missed the hearing on, but I understand there are amendments that either have been adopted or are prepared.
They were adopted in concept.
They were adopted in concept. Do we have the amendments so we can look at these?
This is a substitute bill here.
372.
Oh, yes, Mr.
Chairman, that's when you were...
Senator
going.
Cohen.
No, we adopted these. If I recall right, we had a number of people here. The Secretary of State was here, and Senator Meeker was here, and who else was here that day? And they were kind of went away.
Oh, these were pretty cool.
The grass seed people, yes. And they
and
it's so
got it squared away?
Yes.
Yes.
This, there was one letter of objection from the Bar Association instructing them to say
it. Well, go ahead and say it out loud, please. Thank you.
Okay, there was an objection raised by the State Bar Association. However, they were not aware of the amendments to the bill, so they are going to back and reconsider. But since that will take time, they are not opposing the bill at this time.
They hadn't seen the amendments, which presumably would address at least some of their concerns.
Or may do so, yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
Before I make a motion, just for your edification, yeah, we worked through this pretty good. And when we came to the bottom, we had... I think there was general agreement among all the parties as to the condition of the bill as amended. I don't think there was any controversy, and it came out pretty clean.
Yeah. The amendments have been adopted.
Ready.
Senator Brenneman?
When you're ready, I'll move.
Oh, good. Senator Brenneman moves Senate Bill 372 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Cairns.
Aye.
Senator Kintai.
Aye.
Senator Brenneman.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senator Senator Meeker will carry the bill. He doesn't know that yet, but he'll find out soon. Okay, Senate Bill 180. We're clicking them. They're here now.
Yeah, I think we're about to probably come to a dragon hall. Give our history on this little
moment. I think we have a solution. Is that a Bill 180? The solution that...
Final catastrophe.
I hope we have a solution. Is Mike Dewey here? Mike, come on up, would you? It's my understanding that the solution to the problem surrounding 180 would be in the engrossed bill to simply restore the original, the language as the law stands today in page 3, lines 4 through 9. Is that... Did I state the understanding correctly?
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mike Dewey, there were some individuals that expressed concern with the livestock industry and the capability of the livestock producer to to care for their animals in a in what would be considered a humane manner. And under the proposed amendments, there might be a restriction on that. And the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association agrees that there is the potential for that restriction and would prefer that the language on page 3 of 686.040-9, the language in the statute today be reinstated. So in effect, not changing what the present law is. That would satisfy the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association and the livestock industry.
Question is, will it satisfy Senator Thorne?
Of course, I can't ask you to speak for Senator Thorne.
Mr. Chair, I did speak to Senator Thorne about this particular amendment, and I'm not sure how to answer the question. Understood we were going back to the present law that has been in the statute for 12 years. There have not been any complaints, and he understands that. I'm not sure exactly what he may do. It's my understanding that he is not going to do anything, but that could change, and so I can't speak for him.
No, I understand.
And I don't
that.
Pretend to.
The point is, I guess the point is, in my mind, this is going back to existing law, and if the livestock growers have a problem with existing law, I would suggest they come forward with some proposed changes, but if we go back to existing